Overheard at Yoga is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. Hello, welcome back to Overheard at Yoga. Today I have someone very special, one of my favorite yogis. This is Jamie Nebaker. Jamie and I have been teaching yoga together for a long time. I don't even know when we met.
I don't know. I think it's like 5 or 6 years. I was trying to decide, like, figure out how long I've been teaching, and I'm not good at tracking time. I'm quite terrible.
I have no idea, but I'm very excited you are here.
Thanks.
Jamie, I was going to say, how long have you been teaching at the studio, but you literally just said that. Is this working? Yes, it's working. I can't hear myself. Sometimes I can. There we go.
Oh, okay. There you go. Good. All right.
Ryan can cut that out.
Good.
I also wanted to ask you to introduce yourself because you are a woman of many different, what do they call that? You're an international woman, or you're there's like a name for that.
Oh, I don't know.
Read my mind, please.
I don't know.
You know when there's somebody who can do lots of
different
things.
Many different facets? I don't. Yeah.
It's like
Look it up.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, because we need to.
International. No, it starts with an I.
I mean, I'm not international at all. In fact, like, I never go outside of this nation, and it's really sad.
At least not the last year.
Yeah. And I actually recently told my partner, like, I'm not okay with this anymore. We're traveling. We have to go.
We have one more room left for our Mexico retreat if you want to come.
I'm kind of thinking about it. My loving, incredible, big-hearted partner doesn't want to travel internationally right now yet, still because of COVID, because, you know, like, we have access to the shots and the vaccines, and then the places we're going to might not have access to the. And so he's just, like, very thoughtful, and I'm just like, I want a beach. But, you know, I know. That's why I keep him around, is to keep me, you know, thoughtful. Something like that. I don't know.
So tell us about you.
Okay, so primarily, I am a theater professional. So I'm an actor. That is what I want to be. That is who I am. That's who I will always be. Please hire me. I'm an actor. But then, you know, it's challenging in Boise to just be an actor. You have to stay employed, you're going to have to do a little bit more than that, I feel like, or I've felt like. So I run my own theater company with my partner, Chad Ethan Showhead.
Wait, say his name one more time.
Chad Ethan Showhead.
Great.
I had to say it just the same way.
You have to say it that way.
Okay. So we run a theater company together. I'm a producer, a director at times, a puppeteer. We do this really cool production every year called the Horrific Puppet Affair.
I'm obsessed with the Horrific Puppet Affair. Yeah, yeah. I like to go every single year. It's wonderful. One year you guys did a Christmas theme and it was hilarious.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites for sure. Yeah, Christina, I have to thank you because, like, you know, it's as like a person out in the world that's constantly making things and creating these events for people to come to. I get kind of like, I don't want to tell people to come to my stuff, and I don't want to, like, beg people, and I don't want to, like.
Which this blows my mind about you, because you're an actress and you're so humble. You're one of the most humble people I know when you're this badass woman who should just be like, oh, I'm an actress, I'm a producer, I'm a director. Yes, I teach yoga. Like you should be arrogant because you've earned it, but you're just so humble and so sweet.
Well, I mean, I still have a lot to learn in all of those capacities, and I just keep, I don't know, that's all I'm thinking about. Just want to keep learning and growing. But yeah, so I just do a little bit of everything. I do some voiceovers. Currently, I'm the voice of the Boise Phil. So if you
What's
hear
the Boise Phil?
The Boise Philharmonic.
Oh.
Yeah, so I love that they call it that. But it just means that once a month I go in and, you know, record a spot for them. So
that's awesome.
And obviously don't sound anything like this, you know.
Oh, can I get a taste of that voice?
Let's see. At Boise Philharmonic, we're bringing the music to you anytime, anywhere.
Oh, my God. You're amazing. That is so good.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
But, yeah. So.
What other projects are you working on currently?
Currently, well, actually, for the Boise Philharmonic, Chad was hired. My partner Chad has been making these incredible shadow puppet visual. Well, shadow. Okay, we've been doing shadow puppetry, and Chad has excelled in shadow puppetry in our Horrific Puppet Affairs. And when the pandemic hit, and we couldn't be gathering people to perform live, he started to make. Shadow cutout art, I guess you would say, visual art. He transformed into a visual artist overnight, just like no problem. So that's how he's making his money now, and just like basically started a brand new business overnight and is just kicking its butt.
That's amazing.
So inspiring. So he was hired by the Boise Philharmonic to do a shadow puppet play for one of their productions.
Cool.
So I'm helping with that. We're also, you know, we're going to make a little shadow puppet play for Idaho Gives, which is a day that Idaho can give to nonprofits. Homegrown Theater is one of those nonprofits that you can give to.
And that's the name of your theater company.
Yes.
Yay.
Yeah. I just finished playing Hamlet for Idaho Shakespeare Festival's education program.
Cool.
So normally, the education program sends out a Shakespeare play, a 1-hour Shakespeare play throughout the state of Idaho to schools throughout Idaho. And for like elementary and middle schools, they send a contemporary play. I did this tour for years, I think 8 years. I loved it so much. Traveling the state of Idaho is wild. It's so gorgeous. It's just...
I've not heard that. I've heard that it's barren and brown in a lot of places.
Oh my God, no. I mean, obviously, yeah, northern Idaho is gorgeous, but even like deep eastern and like it's incredible. And we go to these tiny little schoolhouses that have like, you know, K through 12, it's like 12 students, and we get to perform, you know,
oh my God,
Julius Caesar for them or whatever. So that's pretty cool.
Does that fill your cup? Does that make you feel happy?
Oh, yeah, big time. And also then I get to experience new places and new people and new restaurants, new food. I really have loved that program and that ability to travel and be working as an actor. So this year, because COVID... We are obviously not going into schools. And I had been done with that tour for a couple years because Homegrown Theater had grown so much. And I didn't really have the time or, you know, the capacity to just leave for 3 months. Okay. Which I actually did teacher training while I was on one of those tours. So I would I would be out of town performing 3 to 4 times a day all week, get in on a Friday, like screech in, like, I mean... My poor tour mates, you know, like they were just, I was always like, can we hurry? Can we hurry? Can we please not stop to pee? I have to get to teacher training, you know, like getting back into town Friday. I'd live in teacher training all weekend. And then sometimes we'd take back off on Sunday and I'd have to like leave teacher training early. It was just like insane. But my life is always insane and there's never time. And if I wasn't going to make it happen, it wasn't going to happen.
If I wasn't going to make it happen, it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, is that ridiculous?
Yes, no, not ridiculous at all. That's amazing. When did you take teacher training?
So I was thinking about this before coming on today. I believe that it was during the show Maggie Lumiere and the Ghost Train, which was all signed. So I learned sign language and lived essentially with a deaf girl, Leah. She's incredible, for 3 months on that tour. What an experience. So I think it was during that tour, and I think that tour was 2013.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that was like 8 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, a few years ago.
Who was your teacher trainer?
Megan and Anton.
That was a while ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. How is teacher training, like, where's the parallels with acting?
Oh my gosh. There's so much. Well, first of all, like, breath is, you know, like the first thing we're going to work on in like an acting one class. You don't get to a monologue before you're working on your breath and rooting your voice and
I'm so intrigued by this because I feel like I had to discover speaking with my breath kind of on my own.
Yeah, challenging.
And I'm learning to use my voice with modulation and I've got the music and I don't want to be competing with the music. But I want to work with the music.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love it. I feel like sometimes I feel like I'm in a musical when I'm teaching yoga and like playing with the music. Cause like you like to be able to like find the rhythm of the music and to like, play with that pattern with the rhythm of your own voice or the volume of your own voice. Or like if an unexpected dip happens, like, I love to just bring my voice down and like live in that moment and not just like robot.
And I catch myself doing it automatically though with the music. I did an event where I worked with a DJ and he reached out to us. Oh, what's his name? I can't remember. He's from Seattle. And I didn't really listen to any of his stuff. He was just like, hey, I do this thing where I go to yoga studios and I'll create some music sound stuff and I'll just kind of read the vibe of the yoga and we'll go. And I was like, great, cool, come on down. We'll do a hot vinyasa class. And he started playing some interesting like minimalist soundscapes and I did not know what I was working with. Mm-hmm. And so for him and I think the first 10 minutes, he and I are kind of like trying to read each other's vibe. So, and then once we kind of found our vibe, we dropped in and it was an incredible experience using my voice and connecting with this person who's just creating the music while you're connecting to the energy of people in the room moving and breathing together.
Yeah, but that can be so explosive, right? Like that's
It could have been terrible.
And it could be terrible.
The first 10 minutes, because I was wearing a mic and I'm not used to wearing a mic. Oh, I'm not used to hearing my own voice. Now you'd think I'm obsessed with my voice because I've got this podcast now, but actually, when I was going through my teacher training, the way I helped myself remember all the words, because we had a dialogue at that point, I recorded myself reciting the dialogue and then I would listen to it. And I finally got used to hearing my own voice that I felt comfortable speaking to a yoga class for an hour straight.
Yeah.
That was an interesting experience.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's automatic and natural now.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't necessarily, I mean, like, even our natural instincts, which are there, like, we can train to have more to offer as yoga teachers using our voices. Our voices are our tools to communicate with those, you know, with those yogis on the mat. So I do vocal warm-ups before I teach a class. Like, in my car, I'm doing some trills and some, you know, weird.
Give us an example.
Things. I mean, like, just like,
that's really hard.
I can open up my full range. I know. I didn't even do a vocal warm up before I came to this.
Oh, you're in trouble.
Oopsie. But yeah, and like a big one that I like, because I do have a harder time getting into my deeper register, and I do feel like it's a lot more calming than my higher register, and so like I do a lot of and pounding on my chest.
Whoa.
Like all this kind of stuff. And you can actually access more of your voice if you're going to warm up your voice.
So when you say access more of your voice and going to that deeper level, are you talking about breathing deeper in your belly? Are you talking about like a deeper voice? Like, what are you talking
about?
All of it.
Yes. Yes. You should 100%. I mean, like, okay, so there is a head voice, you know, you can speak from your head.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mickey Mouse has that like mm-hmm. head voice and stuff like that. There's a nasal voice. You can speak through your nose, right? Yeah. Oh, I need to be. Yeah. Uh-huh. So you can speak through your nose a little bit more. There's a chest voice, which most of us are usually speak with our chest voice. And then, yes, there is your grounded diaphragm voice, deep belly voice.
I just got this idea.
How can I see
of
you? And
you just turn that thing all the way around. Turn your mic all the way to... Oh, I guess you're kind of planted there.
So what do I... there I just need go. To see you. I need to make eye contact with you. is that okay? All right.
Oh, my gosh. I just had this thought as you were explaining your head voice and your mm-hmm. nasally voice.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking of the chakras.
Yes.
And how can you have, like, your head voice be your crown chakra voice? And what I love about some guided meditations is they'll take you into like a sound meditation where you go, but then they say you want to bring that vibration over to your right ear or bring it over here. And then you start bringing awareness to different parts of your body. Does that make sense?
That so makes sense.
That also reminded me of those experiences.
Yeah.
Bringing your awareness to just different parts. So same with the voice, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And just real quick, that is one of my favorite things. Like, I love to tell my students to breathe into their hips or... I mean, breathe through your toes or send your breath down to your toes because our breath will go wherever we want it to go if we...
Interesting.
You know, and like you can feel it, like send your breath somewhere.
And people who are weirded out by yoga teachers speak when teachers say breathe into your hips. They're like, what are you talking about? Just bring your awareness to your hips.
I know.
Just take it there. But I know what you mean because I believe wholeheartedly. I'm very curious how you got into yoga.
Yeah, I might have taken a class at some point, but I guess I'm not necessarily remembering a first yoga class outside of my sister brought me to Bikram, and I was really nervous about it. I have struggled with heat. I do have a big, long health thing. We'll probably get into that. I'll probably talk about that. I don't know.
So you have a laundry list of health things.
It's not a laundry list. It's one thing. When I was 21, I graduated college, and my best friend, Nicole, and I went on a little East Coast trip because, you know, we're actors. We're going to move to New York and live together. It's going to be great. So we go visit New York and D.C. and Boston, and we take this little trip, and we come home, and I have to work, like, the next morning. I'm working at a diner at that point, Eddie's Diner on State Street.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That got me through college. Eddie's Diner on State Street. I have to work the next morning, 6 a.m., and I start having the day before just, like, this insane pain. And... Oh, yeah. It was actually at work the day after I came back. At work, I was starting to have this insane pain, and I was, like, kind of explaining how I was feeling to, you know, my coworkers, my boss, and whatever. And they're like, I think you just have gas. I'm like, yeah, I just have gas. I guess I've never had gas before. and then someone else is like, I think maybe it's heartburn. I was like, yeah, I've never had heartburn before, I guess. Like, I honestly think maybe I hadn't experienced gas or heartburn at that point in my life.
The first time you experience really painful heartburn or gas, and you're like, oh, I can see why people would go to the ER.
Yeah. So I get home from work that day, and I just start, like, popping pills, you know?
Yeah,
like
all the Tums.
Yeah, all the Tums and whatever gas stuff I had in my house. But, like, I was in – it was just increased – the pain was increasing so rapidly. Like, I felt like I couldn't even leave. So I called my boyfriend at the time. And I was like, will you go bring me some more stuff? Like, I nothing's kicking this, and I'm miserable. And so he brings me more stuff. My coffee table is just filled with gas and heartburn medicine.
So you, like, is it in the pit of your stomach? Is it in your heart?
It was right under, it almost felt like an intense side ache. In the upper right quadrant of my abdomen.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's how I know anatomy.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't teach anatomy in our training.
Yeah, no. So I have to work the next morning. My sister's a nurse. She's like, you need to go to the hospital. Because I at this point, like, I couldn't really even walk.
And
like,
you lived with your sister.
Yeah, I lived with my sister at the time. Even walking was just, like, little steps where I was just, like, shuffling to get to the bathroom and stuff. And I'm like, I couldn't sleep, obviously. I was just in too much pain to sleep. And I told my sister at, like, 4 a.m. was like, I am taking you to the ER. And I was like, okay, well, I work at 6. It'll probably be nothing.
Classic Jamie. Like, you're like, I can fit everything on this plate.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem. I think I can do absolutely everything.
I wish I had that confidence.
It's not about confidence. And everything for everyone. Like, if someone asks me to do something, I really struggle saying no.
Mm.
And I'm working this year's intention is to slow down.
Say yes to Jamie.
Yeah. Say yes to Jamie. Oh, I like that better than say no.
Yeah.
Because I had been saying say no, but I need to say yes to Jamie.
I need to say no to Christina sometimes.
Yeah, no joke.
I'm so introverted. I think I did a post on my Instagram today that says, like, green flags if you're a good friend. And I'm like, yeah, all my friends are good friends. And then one of them said, you check on your friends. I'm like, I never check on my friends. I'm too busy taking naps, taking baths, going on bike rides.
I love that. I'm happy for you. If you can just keep living that life. You're not doing anything wrong.
Like, crap, I should probably, like, check on my friends.
Okay, check on your friends. But I don't do it either because I fill my, you know, plate with so much work.
Mm.
And friends ask me to do something and I'm like, yeah, great, I'm available that night. But I don't put that in my calendar because that's play. And I can learn to put, you know, that play date in my calendar so then I don't book work over it. But I book work over everything.
So you're a workaholic.
Maybe.
A little bit.
Maybe a little bit. Okay.
So workaholic, going to the hospital.
Yeah, so I put on my Eddie's uniform because I'm like, they're just going to, like, maybe, like, give me something to get me out of this
funk. No, you're going to be there.
And yeah. Oh, yeah. I was gone for, a long time. I was, they found, first of all, my liver was, like, really large. And I had just come back from New York where I drank like a fish the entire time with my friend. And
how old were you?
21.
Classic 21-year-old.
Yeah.
But not every 21-year-old has to go to the hospital.
Oh, yeah. So I was, like, bawling. I was like, it's my fault. Like, right away, the doctor was like, your liver is really large. And I'm like, it's my fault. Oh, my God. I've been drinking so much. I just got home from this trip. I just, like, I drink every day. I drink so much. I am so sorry. Oh, my God. I did this to myself. I can't believe I did this to myself. You know? And they're like, no. Like, alcoholics that, you know, that we see over years and years and years, their livers don't look like this. This is not a drinking problem. So I was like, phew. But they did eventually find that my vena cava, which is the main vessel that takes blood from the bottom half of your body to your heart, was 100% occluded, 100% blocked.
Mm.
So I should be dead. Because
you're a miracle.
Yeah, I'm a little miracle, baby.
Walking miracle, Jamie Nevaker.
So the freeway's blocked and my body was like, well, we have to get blood to that heart somehow. So so my body built its own collateral veins, they call them, but basically like side roads to go around the freeway from my liver to my heart.
Okay.
So that's how I am me.
So is it still like that?
Yeah, I had a couple of surgeries that were unsuccessful. Yoga, my sister took me to yoga. I had had problems with heat in the past, probably because Budd-Chiari syndrome and, like, I guess I don't know necessarily, but, like, maybe that doesn't make any sense. But I throw up. I throw up all the time. My friends got me a keychain in high school that said, be nice to me, I'll throw up on you. I just, I don't know where they found it. That, I mean, like, it had to have been custom, but I don't think
so
it was at the time.
If you get too hot, you're going to throw up.
Yeah.
And you're a hot yoga teacher.
Yeah, but also, I played volleyball and, like, running around the court, I'd throw up. We kept a garbage nearby because volleyball play because I just, like, have to throw up and then get back in the game, you know. It was just something that my body did. And
that sucks.
The doctors called it reflux for a long time, but they didn't know about this other thing.
Yeah.
So I think, what's happening is if my heart rate gets up too high, then the blood is pumping so quickly into my liver that my little side roads, because the blood goes into your liver to get cleaned, and then it goes to your heart, and my liver, like those little side roads, couldn't keep up, so the blood would pool in my liver and just like stretch it out, and it was very uncomfortable. So it's still very uncomfortable to hike inclines and to really raise my heart rate. So yoga has been, because I can keep my heart rate down, and maybe it's because we're constantly creating space in the body as we're moving instead of running or something, that to me, straight up in my body, it feels like collapsing, compressing every, you know, even hiking. It just, I try and really work on meditating when I'm hiking, on creating length, because I feel like that has a difference.
And you have this beautiful ability to breathe deep. You've done a lot of breath work. I can hear you breathing next to me in class. I'm like, yeah, that's a reminder to me. Take a deep breath. And do you feel like that breath work is helping you stabilize your heart rate?
Yes.
So you feel it in yoga, but when you say you're hiking, it's more difficult.
I think it's just, it's maybe I'm more conditioned to work through a yoga class and keep my heart rate down. And it's, you know, even if I am trying to set that intention when I'm hiking, it's just harder. My heart, it's inevitable that I think my heart rate will just get a little too, and maybe it's the bounciness of it or the whatever of it. But all I know is that yoga is, I am just like, I have been so relieved in my life to find yoga, because there's a way that I enjoy moving my body and, you know, keeping it healthy, that, you know, like it'll keep me moving and yeah, I just love it. So my sister took me to Bikram. It was hard, but I survived it.
Why did your sister want to take you to Bikram?
Was she probably
like, you gotta try this?
Yeah. And for my sister and I, you know, it was probably weight loss. Like, my sis and I have, you know, talked about hating our bodies to each other.
You're women in America?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I actually just taught on Megan's Pure Serenity Yoga.
Ooh.
Yeah, I taught a Love Your Body class where...
Is it the self-love series?
It's not self-love series.
What's it called?
I just titled the class Love Your Body.
Love Your Body.
Love Your Body.
Yeah. I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah. So have hated my body all my life. My sister has hated her body all her life. And so, you know, I think we just take each other to those things, or, you know, try to motivate each other, I guess, and whatnot. So I think that was Bikram, but I loved it. I loved it so much. I, not long into taking, I wanted to teach, and probably because I couldn't afford yoga.
Okay, so when I talked to Candace, she was like, I love yoga. What's going to keep me in this yoga game? Probably teaching. And for me, I was like, I love yoga. How can I afford yoga when I make minimum wage? I know.
Yes.
If I become a teacher, maybe they'll give me a membership.
Yes.
And that was 8 years ago.
Yeah, it was a huge motivating factor for me, because I found this thing, this one, and... Okay, I feel like I'm absolutely all over the place. Sorry, but...
You're not.
Okay.
I'm following.
Okay, so all that, like, the health stuff growing up and, like, the puking when I run and stuff, it was really embarrassing, you know? And, yeah, it was emotionally, like, I remember one time I was so worried about going skiing. Wow, I can't even remember. I can't believe this memory is even coming up. A boyfriend of mine in high school wanted to take me skiing, and I was so scared to let him see me struggle, because I struggled with physical activity, that I like bruised my leg by like hitting it a bunch of times to be like, I got hurt, I can't go.
Ugh.
And I think I went anyways, because then I couldn't actually follow through with it. But but yeah, and then I dated a firefighter, and so he was, you know, he could climb any mountain, and I always just wanted to be able to keep up. And it's not fun, because I do love being outside, and I love physical activity, and I think if I were to choose, like, you know, any day, any time, staying home and watching a movie or I don't know, playing a board game or playing like some physical game outside on the lawn. Mm-hmm. Like I'd always choose the physical game. Like I love being physical. I feel like I'm a physical actor. I'm a physical person, but I just don't have the full capacity that I feel a lot of people have in ways. But I have to remember that I have, you know,
and yoga's been a pretty strengths. Good tool to help you manage it.
Yeah, it's been huge.
I guess when you have an invisible illness, that's probably really difficult because you can't point and look and say, oh, there, she's got a cast.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Because when I look at you, I'm like, she's amazing. And then I forget that you have stuff like that going on, that you're a human being and you're just like everybody else. We all got our thing. I don't like to go skiing with my boyfriend because I'm afraid of heights and I'm going to freak out on the chairlift. And then I get so worked up thinking about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to embarrass myself. Like if he doesn't let me pull the bar down, I'm going to scream. So like we all have our things.
Yeah, it just goes to show that we are all basket cases and we are just trying to care for our basket as much as we can.
It could be a Virgo thing. We're extra basket casey.
Yeah. For sure.
I have a couple questions I want to ask you.
Okay.
A couple rapid fire questions. Oh my gosh. So I'm just going to ask you a question and I want you to say something. Okay. So one of these questions I have for you are, what's your favorite yoga quotes?
Oh, it's a yoga quote.
Or any
yoga quote. Okay,
I don't know. It can be any quote.
Okay. Well, to thine own self be true. Mm-hmm. But that's Shakespeare. But I believe it's a yoga quote too. And all things
it is
in
now.
Life. Yeah. Also, I recently. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What?
Keep going. Rapid fire.
Oh, right. favorite book and or podcast?
I love House of Leaves by Mark Z. Danielewski. It's a wild book. Yes.
Ooh, okay. And what's your favorite flow song? That is a yoga question.
Yes, that's a yoga question. There could be a million songs that I could choose at this moment. But right now, today, I'm going to say Mind on Fire, Franz Matthews with Aisha Badru, Badru.
Okay, I'm going to look that up.
Mind on Fire.
Okay, favorite pre-yoga snack?
I would prefer not to eat before yoga if I could.
Post-yoga snack.
Post-yoga snack. I love eggs.
Really?
Oh, like if I could get some sweet potatoes and onions grilled and then make some over easy eggs to sit on top of those potatoes.
Oh, yum.
So good.
Okay. favorite way to relax at the end of the day?
Chad and I sit in front of the TV. We watch a lot of great TV. TV is just having a wild time right now.
I'm obsessed with TV.
Yeah, it's so good. And it's some of the best that they've ever made right now, mm-hmm. I think. But also, I love when we can step away from that and sit out on our like deck or something. Just, mm-hmm. Just being with my boo. Just being with Chad. That's it.
Spending time with your partner.
Yeah.
Like not working, but just... Quality time.
Oh, yeah. So since we work together, we definitely have to say, like, no work in this conversation or no work in this time. And you never know when that's going to be the rule and when it's not going to be. Sometimes we find ourselves out on our, balcony. And
what's Chad's sign?
He's October 8th.
Is he a Libra?
Libra.
I like Libras. Yeah. I think Virgos and Libras go well together also. Yeah. And I definitely have to ask you this. What have you overheard at yoga?
Okay. I was thinking about this. I feel like I actually haven't heard the craziest of things, really. unlike all the other yoga teachers I feel have been on here, and they're like, oh my God, so much, are you kidding? But one thing that I feel like we see in movies and that definitely or like TV shows and definitely happened to me in real life is there's an incredible human that loved coming to my yoga classes, and then they were dating someone, and so then that human started coming together, they mm-hmm. came together and then they broke up. But then I guess I was still like their preferred yoga teacher. And they were missing each other for a while. And then they ended up in the same class. And then like I overheard the conversation of like, hey, like I'll stop coming. Like I know that this is your favorite class. You know?
Oh my God.
So
yeah.
But okay, I also want to get on a quick soapbox about what Megan said.
What did Megan
because
say?
Because I've been listening to all these. Megan was talking about she taught a fire class, the core class, mm-hmm. and someone being like, I don't know if I want to keep taking this class because like you're.
She was just very confused how Megan would teach a core class, but she got a gut.
She had a gut and she was pregnant. And so obviously, but I guess the woman like said it to Megan and Megan's like, oh, well, I'm pregnant. And then, but oh my gosh, that makes me so angry. Do you
really?
Like,
yeah.
Yes, because not everyone who does a sit up has a six pack. Okay. And
yeah.
And we all have ups and downs in our lives, and you focus on you. And I'm so sorry, but that made me so mad because also, like, I have so felt, you know, like I have to look a certain way as a yoga teacher, and it's just, can I swear?
Yeah.
It is just bullshit. It mm-hmm. is bullshit. Yoga has nothing to do with what my body looks like.
Yes.
End of story. If you want to do core and you want to go to a gym, I'm sorry if this person is listening. I hope you can learn from this instead of feeling completely scolded by this, but maybe I'm scolding. I don't know. I am. You know?
Well, that person is a very like blunt person and I don't think they'd be offended. I think it's just open dialogue.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they were blunt enough to say it to Megan, then yeah, here's the rest of that.
I'll shoot her the episode notes.
Do you know the person?
Of course.
You do?
Oh, no.
I'm like, no, I'm so safe in this cush room with his.
It's all good. It's all safe. We're all in. Yeah. Yeah. We're all good people. No big deal. And I think she felt so comfortable with Megan that she was like, Megan, I just want to know what's going on.
Okay. Okay. That puts a little more context in it, too, that she was like, knew her. And but I have loved listening to your podcast so much.
Oh, thank
Christina.
You.
So, yeah.
Good. I'm so glad to hear that. I also want to get your take on Heather's overheard at yoga story because you were the teacher.
Yes.
So because you made it look so calm and cool.
And of course, you know that there was a tornado of panic inside my little body. But yeah, I mean, I do believe yoga's for everyone. So they walk in as they are. And I'm like, yeah, come on in. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I had already been teaching. So you don't want to disrupt too much. It, now as a more...
So quick recap for people who haven't heard.
Yes.
Heather's overheard at Yoga Story. Will you just say a little bit about what happened?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm teaching a class and in like I'm probably 3 to 5 minutes into it and in... And you were taking the class, right,
yeah,
Christina?
Yeah.
Christina was in taking the class. I had a couple of teachers in the class. And Heather, obviously. And in walked these two guys. One was in jeans.
Hot yoga in jeans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like skiing in jeans. You don't do it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Unless it's the last day.
And I kind of like help them find a space. And I just like, now, okay. So I help them find a space. And then, you know, they just continue to, as I'm teaching.
Disruptive.
Just super disruptive. Like, rolling on and off their mat, and I just, you know, I would just go up and say, hey, try to stay on your mat like as much as you can, or just, you know, small things, and like, you know, this is your first class, so just don't feel like you have to be a hero. You can just kind of lay here,
take a break,
know?
Take a break,
yeah,
take a break,
because they were dying. They were like, oh my god, it's so hot.
It's
and they
so
were also,
hot in here
they were
so
also,
hot in here
yeah they were also like, you know, like grunting, like, you know. And some people do, they come to the yoga class for a workout, and so they, it's crazy to me, but they'll like, they treat it like a workout. They're like, you can hear them like, you know, or like, I don't know, they're like, they're pumping iron or something. They're uh-huh. in the class like doing their push-ups or whatever in the middle, and I'm just like, if that's what your breath is doing while you're doing push-ups and yoga, you're not doing yoga. You might still be doing push-ups, but you, anyway.
Yeah.
So yes, they were just like, they were just nutsballs. And then yeah, after I just like walked out of the class and was just like exhausted from head to toe because I had been like going over and whispering to them at their mat just like the whole class.
It's
you
okay
know?
To, I could hear you like, it's okay to take a break. You are so perfect.
Well, and see, like, of course I'm going to go, there's different ways I could have handled it, you know, and now as a more experienced yoga teacher, because I believe that was like my first year of teaching,
mm-hmm.
first or second max, but I do think that I could have, even if we had already done it, gotten the class like rolling and moving, like I'm a lot more, I feel like, me and open in my yoga classes mm-hmm. now, and just like, it's not a ship that has to be run, you know, like a certain way. Like, it's an organic, natural thing that we're doing. It's not a performance. It's not like, I don't have to get to curtain. I don't have to like, whatever. I just have to care for the people that are in the room, make sure that their bodies are aligned in safe ways, and create an experience for them to go after their intentions and to set their intention. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. So, but now I feel like I would have like maybe got them like, hey, y'all, we're gonna maybe talk them through, just like without any warning, get them to like the top of their mat or into downward facing dog, and then be like, let's sun a salutations, like start your sun a's. And right as they walked in, I would have like walked out with them, made sure that they were prepared to take the class. Mm-hmm. Like, and I could have done it quick, like, and you know, maybe, and you know, maybe that wouldn't have been right either. So there's no regrets here necessarily, but I do feel, looking back at that moment, that I have more tools in my tool belt now as a yoga teacher that I could have used.
I had a guy come to my class, and I didn't actually believe him when he said he was going to come to my class. I think it was Tree Fort, and I ran into him like early in the evening, and I was like, he's like, oh, are you coming out tonight? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, I'm probably going to call it early. I'm teaching 8 a.m. Saturday morning. And he's like, oh, I want to go. I'm like, great, 8 a.m. See you there. And so 8 a.m. came, he wasn't there, started teaching the class. And probably about 5-10 minutes in, like, I see him at the windows of the studio, like, waving at me. And so I, like, point to him where, like, the front door of the building is, and he comes around, and he's wearing the same clothes he was wearing when I ran into him the evening before. and so he's like, I'm here. I'm like, okay, grab a yoga mat and a yoga towel from behind the desk. And we like made space for him. And he's a great guy, but he reeked of alcohol and cigarettes, mm-hmm. like bad. And he rocked the class. Like, he did the, like, he's fit. So he did the full class, but he was wearing like kind of saggy jeans. So it's kind of funny because he had the drop crotch, and he's in his warrior too.
Oh my God. He was wearing jeans too. I just can't even imagine.
And it was like, you know, he'd been up all night. I think he was doing some other things too. Yeah.
Oh yeah. These two guys definitely smelled, you know, like, there was definitely some
air about them.
Some intense pungent smells coming from them.
Which, this is what really surprised me, because I'd walk to that side of the room, I'm like, oh, this side of the room smells awful. And so I like got the fans on, and the woman who was practicing next to my friend who had come in like Tree Fort like all night long, she said she thought it was so cool that somebody just rolled in off the street, wanted to take a yoga class. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry that smell was so bad. She's like, I didn't smell a thing. And I think I don't know how she didn't smell anything, but she was like deep in her yoga, thought it was fine. And no one really noticed that this guy rolled in late, that he'd been partying all night, that he's wearing jeans. He just kind of slipped on in, and that was that. And he hasn't come back. I'm surprised, but he thanked me for the class, and he went home to sleep it off.
That's incredible. And I love our yoga community and you know, the people that were in that class, for just loving and accepting that someone else needed some yoga in their lives, you know?
Yeah. So what was so funny about those two gentlemen in your class, they were super friendly, really nice. And they said they were just there to sweat it out. They needed a detox. And we're like, I'm happy we could be here for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to also say the whole breakup scenario that you had mentioned earlier. There has been one couple that I really admired that when they broke up, she kept coming to the studio, but he knew that yoga was her thing and that she loved it. And even though they were separated, they were still raising their children together. And for like the next 2 or 3 years, he would call me at the studio and want to buy her classes. So he bought her like 3 years of yoga to just make sure that she had that for her. They ended amicably. He didn't get the studio out of it, but he made sure that she had her yoga. And I just thought that was so thoughtful.
That's so killer. Amazing. Mm-hmm. I love watching couples in Shavasana reach over and hold each other's hands. Mm-hmm. Mm, so sexy.
There was also another couple that separated, and they would come to class with their new partner, And then the four of them would like stay after class and chit chat and talk about the kids' schedule.
It's incredible.
I'm like, I love yoga. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you so much for coming. I got to have you back. You're amazing.
Oh my God. Such a pleasure.
There's so many stories we can get out of you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening, everyone. We want to hear your yoga story too. So send it on in. Awesome. Thank you.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste.